Now, the Chief Minister is set to meet with senior ministers and officials this afternoon to discuss the emerging economic and social impacts of the current conflict taking place in the Middle East. Alfred Cannon has called an emergency meeting of the Economic National Strategy Board to assess the potential inflationary pressures, including increasing energy prices, as well as the potential impact on the economy more generally. As we've been hearing, it's 11 days since the United States and Israel began strikes in Iran, leading to a wider conflict in the region. Well, the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, joins us in the studio this morning. Now, Chief Minister, this is clearly an incredibly serious situation. Why have you called this meeting, and just what impact do you think this could have on the island?
Well, good morning and moramai. First of all, I think, I do just want to quickly refer to the human impact of this. You know, as we issued a statement last week in terms of advice for Manx expatriates and residents caught up directly in the conflict region itself, I'd say to people who are still concerned about that or who for whatever reason find themselves at the centre of any future escalation that takes place, the Foreign and Commonwealth Offices should be the primary source of that information. They will be the people who will organise aid and potential evacuation flights and will deal with the resultant immediate travel disruption in that particular area and give the best advice. We, of course, will help and provide support where we can for urgent and serious cases, and indeed help people in terms of pointing them in the right direction. But absolutely, for any of our expatriates or residents who are immediately caught up in that conflict area, the FCDO is the place to go. And of course, I listened to the respective travel experts this morning on your show. I appreciate there's lots of other travel disruption going on around the place. I know there's Manx residents in other countries who've been caught up in this with serious delays. My thoughts with them, and I sincerely hope and trust that liaison with their airlines, with their travel agents, will eventually resolve the situation. But yes, I mean, going back to the current position, we're 11 days into this conflict now. Clearly there are going to be now some impacts in terms of economic impacts on the island. We've seen now the increase in the markets in terms of the oil and energy prices. We know from our experiences now, both with coronavirus, but certainly more, perhaps more directly relevant, the Ukraine war, sort of 4 years ago, what sort of impact this can have at that particular time. We saw significant spikes in energy costs. I think the electricity price went up something like 30%. Fuel prices obviously increased. We can see that then reflecting as generally in that whole cost of living, the cost of goods at the supermarkets. Government at that particular time had, if you remember, had to take interventions to try and both support our economy, support businesses, support people by taking a direct interest in the electricity pricing at that particular time. But we also had to put together a support package. So look, this is a preemptive move from the government's part, from my part and the council minister's part, to now to start to try and get an early track on potential impact. I expect future fuel that is being delivered to the island to be significantly increased from its current price point. And not only then at the pumps, but obviously in terms of our everyday commercial activities, our goods that we purchase, the supply chains. We really need to now get a handle on what is being impacted. So that's the primary piece. But then there's the secondary issue that need to absolutely look at. I have no evidence of any threats to that at the moment, but is the actual supply chain itself, and to make sure that we've got plans in place should there be any future disruption.
In terms of the potential cost impact at the pump, fuel, etc., what realistically can government do to shield the island from that? Could there potentially be support packages again?
Well, it just depends how serious the situation gets. So right now, this is going to be a question of making sure that this afternoon, I'm going to want to know that all the communication lines are open. We've got a proper understanding of what the likely impacts are going to be, that we are tracking with business and industry particularly in terms of the impacts that they may see. And that extends perhaps from our manufacturing industry all the way through to our agricultural sector. So there are already indications, for example, that there may be supply chain shortages in agriculture. I'm talking about certainly fertiliser. There's certainly talk about red diesel prices shooting up. That will all potentially have an impact in terms of that industry, their ability to obviously effectively farm produce the goods that we need. And of course, we all then see that impact as a community in our weekly shopping baskets. And of course, if those goods go up, then we see the impact more broadly in our domestic economy as people then withdraw from perhaps spending the extra money they might have on their trip to the pub or the restaurant or a night in a hotel. So, you know, these are the sort of multi-layered aspects that and the knock-on impacts that you can see just simply from that what you may just perceive as a rise at the fuel pumps. But it can, as we know from our experience, and bear in mind this is the third time for this government that we've had to effectively go into a sort of crisis mode, if you like, coronavirus, Ukraine war, and now we're going to go potentially into a period of uncertainty with what's going on in the Middle East. We're standing up this committee today. I think this is first and foremost a preemptive move on our part to ensure that all the lines of communication open. We're starting to prepare. We will see then how things develop over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks. There's certainly no panic. But of course, you know, if we can see significant impacts in the community or in the business sector, then we need to stand by to take the corrective action that we need, you know, to see us through what will hopefully, I'm sure we all hope, will be a short term shock to the system. Rather than a longer term one.
Now, you mentioned a few moments ago, Chief Minister, about Manx residents caught up potentially in the Middle East. Have you had much contact in that respect from people from the Isle of Man who are in the Middle East? Has there been sort of concerns about people due to travel through the Middle East? What's the sort of response you've had on that front?
Yeah, so I don't know exact numbers of Manx residents in these locations. There has been some traffic in terms of emails that have come through and some inquiries that have come through. They have been pointed to the FCDO registration process, pointed to the Foreign Commonwealth Office. So, you know, as far as I know, everybody is safe and well, which is the first and foremost the primary interest. I know, obviously, there's been disruption, some concerns, people wanting to get out of the region. I hope that they have been successful. I think in the guidance we issued last week, we very clearly set out our position in terms of evacuation flights, etc., would be done by the UK government. People would be expected then to make their own way back to the Isle of Man. As I said, Ben, we're not disinterested in this. We absolutely want to help. We will help, please. If anybody is in trouble, if there's issues, then please reach out to the government, or if they can't get through to them, just reach out to your local MHK. We will do our very best to ensure that we get the right information to you to help and support. But yes, fundamentally, I think those calls and emails that have come in have been directed in the right area.
Why has it taken you 11 days to hold this extraordinary meeting? Because when this conflict began, it was immediately very clear, I think within seconds, that this was going to be extremely serious with worldwide ramifications. Has something triggered this in particular? Why has it taken sort of over a week and a half to get all of these people together to discuss this?
Well, I think to be honest, from pretty much from day one, I'd said to the chief executive officer, look, we need to start putting ourselves onto high alert now, and that I know he wrote out last week to his chief officers and met with his chief officers to start to gather the information through. We arranged this meeting last week. It does take a few days to clear diaries, to get people coordinated, but you know, right from the get-go, absolutely understood. But I think the purpose of publicising the fact that we're now, you know, putting together all the parties in the room is one, to provide a sense of reassurance that actually the government recognises there may be challenges now ahead for the economy, for people, and we are in a position now that we're starting to want to gather the data. I would absolutely say on that point, you know, if there are sections of our community or business community who are now clearly seeing impacts that will have a negative effect on their industry or on indeed in terms of the broader community, then we need to know, please feed those through either directly to the relevant departments concerned or through to their industry or trade body, you know, in order that that information can then be fed correctly through the channels to the government. As I said, Ben, this is about data information at the moment. This is about understanding where those pressure points are, and also as I said before, I mentioned that sort of supply chain. There are potential indicators that there may be some logistical supplies that are of essential need. I mean,
genuinely, how concerned are you about that at the moment?
Well, I mean, certainly not on the fuel side. As far as I know, everything is still okay. There's plenty of reserves around the world, and that we will have that continuity of supply. I think there's other things that we want to be looking at. I talked about, for example, the fertilizer issue, the knock-on impact into agriculture. I want to make sure, for example, all the medicines that we need are coming through properly and promptly. It's always hard right at the beginning to understand where and how these things may be impacted, and you can't necessarily see them just from a sort of direct recognition or understanding of the reports that are coming through from the Middle East. There can be other knock-on impacts in other countries around the world. And so, as I said, you know, there's no sense of panic at the moment. It's just a question of us absolutely, one, recognizing now we need to be on alert to the economic situation that's likely to unfold, to interpret that, to understand where the impacts are, and then to assess whether or not and how the government can best act to support the community and support our economy.
From a security point of view, we know there were some arrests in the UK last week, individuals accused of spying on behalf of Iran. We know there's been a conversation, the Home Affairs Minister recently talking about ID for boat passengers and increasing that security at the border. How much of a priority now is it making sure that that border is secure?
Well, look, we've taken a lot of action in this government to ensure that the island is safe. Ports policing has been merged into the constabulary now. We are talking to the steam packet in terms of additional security measures. Look, you know, we're ultimately interlinked into the common travel area, but absolutely security at our borders is of primary concern to us. I'm confident that that the Chief Constable and his force have the right security links into the United Kingdom, or we have a proper exchange of information that goes on behind the scenes, and that our borders are secure. You know, we need to keep working at that. That is why we are looking at additional measures moving into the future. Certainly, look, if there was ever a crisis point again to occur, then as we've proven in the COVID and coronavirus pandemic, we're perfectly capable of really tightening up our security measures at our ports.
And just finally, some of the global rhetoric around this. We've heard this morning from Donald Trump talking about death, fire and fury. We've heard Iran talking about acts of war. How does language like that help in this situation?
Well, I'm not going to sort of extend commentary onto what world leaders are saying. I think, you know, my job, Council of Ministers' job, is to focus on the impacts of this for the Isle of Man. You know, nobody wants to see this sort of conflict. You know, we have to react to what is happening now on the ground in the Middle East. You know, I'm very focused, and so is the Council of Ministers, in determining, you know, what is needed for us on the island to ensure that we've got, as I said, the supply chains working, that we are on top of the information, the data, and then we've got some visibility on the impacts both on our businesses, on our economy, and on people's daily lives.
And just finally, presumably you will update us, the Manx public, on how this meeting actually goes this afternoon.
So what I'm going to say now is that, you know, as this will develop, you know, over the next few weeks. I don't think you will see potentially an immediate reaction. I don't believe there is an immediate crisis, inverted commas. I think we need to brace ourselves. Everybody will need to brace themselves for some sort of economic impact in their pockets now in the coming weeks. It will take some weeks for us to understand, you know, how that is flowing through into the economy, what it means for people, where there are any potential areas of concern for us building. Some of that times it takes a bit of time for that data to flow through. So there's no absolute sense of panic at the moment, but we do need to be on top of it. We are on top of it. We're going to make sure that we've got those data flows. And Ben, I can and John, I absolutely assure you, you know, if there is a need for government to act to a developing situation or to sort of announce a situation that we believe is occurring, an action that we're taking, we'll make sure that is properly communicated as quickly as possible.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.